Good morning and welcome. When God Brings a Sword is the title of today's sermon given by the Reverend Dr. Stephen K. Jurdy in this worship service coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. We invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. The service begins with a prayer for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, Open Now Thy Gates of Beauty, number 250 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. The organist is Cantor Irene Beathy, the vocalists are Rick Hovda, Cynthia Reuter, and Jim Speckard. The trumpet is played by Chad Primo. The lector is Bill Metter. The presiding pastor is the Reverend Christopher Johnson, and the assisting pastor is Reverend Joseph Pinzel.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Oh,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by the working of your Holy Spirit, grant that we may gladly hear your word proclaimed among us and follow its directing. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 28. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 119, verses 150 through 160.
Behold my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law.
Lead my cause and redeem me, according to your promise, to be my life.
Deliverance is far from the wicked, for they do not study your statutes.
Great is your compassion, O Lord. Preserve my life according to your judgments.
There are many who persecute and oppress me, yet I have not swerved from your decrees.
I look with loathing at the faithless, but they have not kept your word.
See how I love your commandment. O Lord, in your mercy, preserve me.
The heart of your word is true. All your righteous judgments endure forevermore.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 7. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would have not known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and that through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water, because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let us confess with one heart the faith we share.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In response to the word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, "Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus," hymn number 487 in the Lutheran Book of Worship.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord God, I give you thanks for all those who are gathered here today, both those who are gathered in this space and those who listen from afar over the radio waves. O Lord, be with us all. You have fashioned us beautifully in the wombs of our mothers. You have redeemed us by the blood of your Son, fashioned in the womb of Mary. Now you have called us to be made new in the womb of your church. We praise and bless you for your loving kindness and your care. Receive our thanksgiving. Open our hearts and our ears to your holy word, and make us fully your people. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus does not come to bring peace, but a sword. And when I say so, nobody gets very nervous, do they? We don't really see swords very much these days. Perhaps some of you have a few swords at home because you collect them, but for the most part, they are things of the past, almost something romantic. The sword, the weapon of the valiant knights who comes to slay the dragon. But it was not so when Jesus spoke these words for the first time. At that time, everyone had seen a sword, because everyone had either seen warfare, or they now saw the soldiers who walked their streets with the full authority of the Roman government. Those soldiers carried swords because they were the best way to kill people. So now let me put it a little differently, in a way that would be closer to how Jesus' first listeners would have heard it. Jesus has not come to bring peace, but a gun. As we heard in today's gospel reading, do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a gun. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. That doesn't sound like the message we're supposed to be hearing and speaking today, does it? Don't we want peace? Shouldn't religion, of all things, be talking about unity and calm and good order? Shouldn't we have a message that will soothe those heated spirits that have rustled up our nation? But no. Jesus says that he has come with a weapon that kills, a sword, a cannon, a gun. And not only so, but also that he will set the younger generation against the older one. Mark those words well. He does not say that he'll set the father against the son or the mother against the daughter, but the son against the father, the daughter against the mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. He says nothing about son-in-laws. That's because Jesus doesn't play those games, the game that we play, where you have to mention everyone to make sure that they're included. As soon as he's communicated himself and made the point, he stops speaking. He means the younger against the older. Well, what is the point he's making? In a society that depended on obedience and the peaceful transfer of tradition from one generation to the next, Jesus declares that he has come with a gun to turn children against their parents. So you tell me, are you inviting this Jesus to your home today? I don't think that anyone's ever written a hymn about this gun-toting Jesus turning children against their parents. Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me. Not quite the tone of today's gospel. Oh, Jesus, so sweet, oh, Jesus, so mild, you came to us a little child. Not the tone of today's gospel. After the weary days that we have had, such hymns would be welcome. Perhaps we would even think that that's what we should be saying and doing in order to counterbalance the violence that we see around us. But as we read in the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel, God is against the prophets who say peace, peace, where there is no peace. Maybe instead of saying what we think we should say to counterbalance the violent among us by speaking peace, peace in our time, and maybe instead of trying to persuade the riotous among us by sounding a different tone, and maybe instead of trying to fight fire with water, it's time to show the world what a real revolution looks like. Maybe it's time to show those who think that they have set things ablaze, that they've just ignited a few little fizzling sparks compared to Jesus. To see what I mean, consider first what a family meant at the time that Jesus spoke. For the people of that time, family determined everything. Family determined your wealth and therefore, to at least some extent, your health. Family also plugged you into a much larger system. It plugged you into a particular city, citizenship, nation, and ethnicity. That's where you belonged as a result of your family. Your family determined your identity to a degree that we can't even imagine today. And so people stuck with their families back then, not necessarily because they loved them better than we do, but because their lives depended on them. And as I describe that vision of the family to you, there are some in this world today who would listen to my words and say, yes, that's exactly what's wrong with the family. It's an oppressive organization that tells you who you are and tries to stick you where you belong, and we should just get rid of that family structure. But that's not what I'm saying. That way of thinking is just one of the fizzling sparks that captivate a child's imagination by a campfire. But they are nothing compared to the blaze that I'm about to set. A fizzling spark has the power to burn up dry timber and rage across prairies, and a fizzling spark can level whole neighborhoods and cities. But that blaze that I'm about to set, the true revolution of Jesus, is different. The revolutionary fire of Jesus is a fire that can burn a bush without burning it up. It can refine silver without melting it. It breaks out hot against the wicked. But it is a healing sun full of warmth for the innocent. The revolutionary fire of Jesus, issuing forth from that sword, that cannon, that gun that he brings, sets children against their parents. And in so doing, it makes true parents and children of us all. And it makes families finally what they are meant to be. For what kind of a world is it that depends on families to determine everything about you? absolutely everything. What kind of a world is it where you must stick with your family, not for the sake of love, but because your life depends on it? It's a world that is terrified by death. It's a world that must be terrified of sin and poverty. It's a world where, if I don't get my fair share, and you do get more than your fair share, then I'll go get my brothers to beat you up and burn down your home. Family against family. Nation against nation. Race against race. Yes, that's the kind of a world you get where the grave still has the last word. And understand this. Listen, you who have ears to hear. If you are living in that world, or maybe I should say, if you are living in that age, if you are living in the age where the blood of your family is everything, if you are living in the age where you say, God, family, nation, in that order, but really it's family and nation, and God can come along for the ride. If you are living in that age where you have to be terrified of death, where it's right to burn and beat up and kill in order to get your fair share, then you are not living. Then you are in the grave. But now comes Jesus with his sword, his gun. And it's unlike any gun that the world can shoot down a street or up an alley. This sword that Jesus brings, it isn't really a sword or a gun at all, not as we know it. It's something that pierces much more deeply. It's his holy word, which is true and truly the last word, because it has risen from the grave and now creates a whole new age. As we read in the book of Hebrews, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the hearts. See, the world thinks that it will change things by laws. And if laws don't work, then the world says it will change things by force. Either the wars that governments declare or the wars the people declare on the streets. But our Lord Jesus, who is risen, our Lord Jesus, who has no fear of the grave, our Lord Jesus, who comes to you from the age that is to come, he rules by changing minds, just as he will one day change our flesh. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes. And the way that he sets children against their fathers is this. He tells you that you have an identity that is far greater than your family, your city, or your nation. You are a creature, the handiwork of God created by his word. And you are a holy child redeemed by his blood. He speaks that word, not ultimately to families and nations as groups. He speaks that word to each of you as individuals, so that ultimately each person has a value before God and a life before God, no matter what happens in this world that is passing away. It's the value and life poured out on you and into you at holy baptism. The value and life that God made good by giving up his son over to death. It's the value and life that you eat at the Holy Supper. It's the life that gives you a new family, the new church, a new nation, the church, a new world, the new creation that is the body of Jesus. All of that is yours. not because you were born into it, but because you were chosen for it. God chose you for that life. He chose to have his name written on you. On the day that he did so, something in you died. Something in you was put to death. It's the old life of living only as determined by family, nation, and a world terrified by death. But on that same day, something in you came alive as well. It's the new way of living, free to love, simply because love has won. It's the new way of living in which the family and nation and every other tradition are purified by the changed minds at work in them, the individuals redeemed by a new vision of the gospel. Here is how Jesus is indeed sweet and mild, our priceless treasure and our source of purest pleasure. He is the source of true and redeeming life. He is the true sword who makes alive even as it kills. And you, the believers, are the true protest who bears that sword. Purified by the fire that burns without burning up, you are the protest who burns without burning to the ground. You are the protest who enters into families set against what they could be, but only to make them what God means them to be. Places of freedom and repentance and forgiveness. You are the protest that enters into every nation, set against what nations could be, so that they may be what God would have them be. Places of peace for the meantime. Not by force, but by your example and your persuasion and self-sacrifice. You, the church, are the true protest. For wherever you go confessing that Jesus is risen and that Jesus is Lord, you protest the grave and the devil. And you reveal the possibility of a new creation. Truly, you are the protest without which every other protest will fail in the end. And now tell me, is not my word like a sword and a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? And a fire.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs.
O God of creation, Lord of all that you have made, you are holy, almighty, and gracious. Bringing all things out of nothing and still sustaining that in your great power. Fill the whole earth with your presence and finish in us your merciful things. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O healer of the nations, look in great compassion upon this nation in which we live. Bring life where there is death, justice where there is anything amiss. Where there is conflict, health where there is illness, and protection where there is danger. Lord, in your mercy,
hear.
O King of love and righteous judge, you have made man and woman in great beauty and set them within varying tribes, languages, and nations. Draw together the whole human race into the unity that comes from faith in Jesus Christ. Dispel from our midst all division of hate, greed, and lust. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O light and joy of heaven, bring your joy to Tillman, Harris, Dave, Max, Laz, Rich. For Ruth, Harold, Barbara, Dennis, Rita, Ben, Lydia. For Ken, Avery, Annette, Olivia, Deborah, Grace, Maggie, Tina, Eric. For Barb, Trandy, Maureen, Krista, David, Joey, Lynn, Mark, Nancy, Jim, Richard, and all Zion's homebound members. Free them from every affliction and adorn them with glory. Lord, in your mercy. O destroyer of all evil and giver of all that is good, look in great mercy upon the church that you have formed with the precious blood of Christ. Feed her with truth. Sustain her with your life. Make her glad in your presence and keep her with Jesus Christ in the true faith for the age that never ends. Lord, in your mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This point in the service is where we would normally receive an offering, but we will not do so for a couple of reasons. As you know, we have been preparing for this day, seeking the best advice that we can find from our public health officials about how to gather. Everything you see us doing has been thought through very carefully, and it has been researched. If you see us not doing something that you think should be done, it's likely the case we have thought about it and have chosen not to do it for a reason. So by all means, talk to us about that. But everything else, as I say, has been done with research to an inch of its life. But at this point in our service, where we would normally receive an offering, we will instead have a time to prepare for the Holy Supper through prayer and reflection on the gifts we are about to receive. And that is, in fact, the older Lutheran practice, and it will be our practice going forward, whether sick or healthy. It's the better practice, really, than receiving money during the service. Lutherans, it was our tradition not to have collections during the service because the old Lutherans thought that emphasized our works and gifts too much over God's. And for that reason, our ancestors here at Zion had offering boxes put in the walls of the church, and there's a little map where they are inside the front cover of your bulletin. They're numbered. One is there, two is there, and three through six are back in the narthex. And an usher can help you find those offering boxes following worship. We thank God for the wisdom of our ancestors in the faith, and we thank God that we are now able to enter into the fuller joy of what they had prepared for us, the joy of taking this time to prepare for communion and to focus on the gift and offering of God.
Pastor Johnson will next lead the congregation in the Sacrament of Holy Communion, assisted by Pastor Pinzel and Pastor Jurdy. Two hymns will be sung during the distribution, or by the vocalist during the distribution. Just As I Am Without One Plea, number 296, and O Bread of Life from Heaven, number 222, both are from the Lutheran Book of Worship. The broadcast of today's service is sponsored in thanksgiving for blessings received by an anonymous listener.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we do not come to your table trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Grant us so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may ever dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Amen.
In the same way, also after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our
the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup,
we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Oh.
Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.
Please join us at the same time next Sunday morning. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Midweek service is live streamed on Facebook on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Bible study is live streamed each Sunday at 10:15 a.m. on Facebook. Zion has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 83 years. Also, Lutheran Network continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your financial gifts to make this broadcast possible. You may make a donation and get more information at Zion's website, www.zionlutheran.com. Or you may mail your donation to Zion Lutheran Church, 709 North 6th Street, also Wisconsin, 54403. And now, may our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you and grant you a safe, joyful, and blessed week.
Oh, you betcha. You betcha. Have a nice sister. As soon as they open, I got it.